We often think of grace as something only bestowed upon us, but not something that we bestow on others. We're going to be exploring that idea today on Soul 02. And welcome to Soul 02. This is a podcast that is putting the oxygen back into the Christian life one soul at a time. And today we're talking about seven signs you have a grace deficiency. And as I said earlier, we often think of grace as something that we just get, but not something we have to give. And when I speak of grace, I don't mean God's saving grace in our life. I mean His grace, His chesed in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word chesed, which is His loyal love, the idea that He always extends that first before anything else. And we find that in the story of Jonah today, we've been looking and thinking about Jonah, that Jonah's attitude highlights the common misconception that grace typically is seen as something only received by people rather than something that they should extend to others as well. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. So, but first, you know, what about Jonah's grace deficiency? Let's talk about that for a second. And Jonah was unable to receive, or rather, he was able to receive grace, but not give it. That was the deficiency. And I think that's human nature for all of us, that it's easier to receive than give, right? And so our grace can become just one way. Just give it to me, just receive it. And Jonah was more than happy to receive a second chance by God, but was not so quick to give a second chance to the city of Nineveh, the place he was called that was under God's judgment. And God is saying, look, I want to give them a chance, a second chance. If they repent, I will, you know, stop my judgment. If they don't repent, they're going to be judged. And so Jonah's flaw reminds us that while we may expect or desire to receive God's grace, we often overlook the importance of granting grace to those around us, especially those who have hurt us. That's a hard one because maybe you're hearing this or watching this and you've been abused or maybe you've been hurt terribly. And, you know, I would never suggest, hey, you just got to forgive them and you're done. I think it takes years to release that to the Lord, and it also takes God doing it for you because none of us have the capacity to do that. We don't have the strength to do it in ourselves. But what comes to mind today is the parable of the unjust servant or the unforgiving servant rather, in Matthew 18:21. In the parable, a servant owes an enormous debt to his master, which he cannot pay, right? And this speaks of, hey, this speaks of forgiveness and being forgiven. You know, I offended you and I could never make right what I did to you, right? So that's the debt. The servant pleads for mercy and the master, filled with compassion, forgives the debt entirely and says, okay, I'll forgive you even though you owe me. However, when the servant encounters a fellow servant who owes him a significantly smaller amount, he refuses to show the same mercy and has the debtor thrown into prison. When the master hears of this, he becomes very angry and punishes the unforgiving servant for his lack of forgiveness and throws him in prison. And this parable speaks of this very idea of giving grace to others. Are you able to give grace to others, or are you only a receiver of grace? So here's another aspect of Jonah's grace deficiency can be found this way, that he was offended at God's compassion toward the enemy. This is the equivalent of someone hurting you or offending you, and when God restores them and forgives them, it angers you. How dare God forgive them? They deserve punishment because of what they did to me, right? And again, I'm sensitive to those who maybe have been really profoundly hurt by someone or abandoned or abused or something, that sometimes it takes years to get there, okay? It's a process. We know that, right? So this is not what we're talking about today. But what we're talking about is the idea that of questioning God's grace when it's being bestowed upon someone who doesn't deserve it, which is really all of us, basically, when you think about it. But it's always easier to tear down than to build up. It's easier to receive than to give. And Jonah was happy to be a prophet of doom as long as the doom occurred, right? So without any further ado, I want to give you quickly seven signs that you have a one-way grace in your life, right? The first one is this, emotionalism. And again, you'd have to read this. You know, I encourage you to read the story of Jonah. It's only four chapters. And in chapter four, it says, this displeased Jonah terribly, and he became very angry. What displeased him? Well, that Nineveh repented, and they got right with God, and they said, Lord, we want you to align our lives. We want to make this right. You know, we don't want to be judged by you. And that ticked Jonah off. Imagine that, excited to receive, you know, it's always easier to get excited to receive something, but indifferent when others don't receive it, meaning grace. It's easier for me to love the idea, hey, God, bless me, bless me, bless me, but not that guy. Not that person, not that woman, not that man. Jonah kind of set up this makeshift camp. And this is part of the story, because he was waiting to see, even after they repented, if God would still rain judgment on them. Because he's like, go get them, God, they deserve it. So he sets up this camp to witness the destruction of Nineveh, because he really thought it's going to happen, because they deserve judgment. And it became so hot where he was cloistering himself that he was beginning to wilt under the sun. So in kindness, the Lord provided a vine to give protecting in shade, which is a huge, massive leaf, you know. And so he was able to make a little protection over that against the sun. And this is the story. And Jonah was so excited in verse 6 of chapter 4 that, hey, I got this vine that God provided for me. That's grace. Thank you. I deserve it. But on the other hand, he allowed his feelings to dictate his life, because he was only too happy to receive God's grace and euphoric over this thing, simple thing called the plant, but indifferent about the potential destruction of a city. Think about how messed up this is. He was happy to receive blessing, but apathetic to the plight of a city of 120,000 people. But another note of one-way grace is stubbornness. Here's a question. Do you wish grace or judgment on your enemies, on those who hurt you? Are you able to get to the point where you pray for them and say, God, I hate them still, or I don't like them, but I pray you somehow touch them or save them, you know? And again, this is a process that comes in small steps for all of us and in different ways. No one person is the same. No two people are the same, rather. But Jonah 4:5 says, Jonah left the city and sat down east of it, and he made a shelter for himself, and then he sat down under it to see what would happen to the city. So this wasn't a, hey, I'm going to check out their welfare, make sure they're okay. This was like, I'm waiting to see God rain judgment on these people. So he was stubborn in his own theology, in his own thinking. He didn't want to give it up. And stubbornness insists on judgment over mercy. Stubbornness says, I'll never forgive them. Stubbornness says, they owe me an apology. And until they do that, I'm not going to forgive them. Stubbornness is really offense when you think about it. Jonah was offended. But another feature of having one-way grace is this, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, and again, we don't have time to read it, but when in trouble, Jonah prayed this beautiful psalm. It was very similar to one of the psalms. You know, he says, from the belly of the whale, you know, from the belly of the fish I cried, and from the belly of hell I cried, and God saved me. But when it came time for him to pray a psalm of grace over these people, he wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. That's hypocrisy. And that's a feature of one-way grace that, hey, I'll receive it, but I'm not going to give it. That's a hypocrite. In regard to others, we can sometimes place rightness over grace while at the same time wanting the same grace that we deny others. And that's hypocrisy at its best. And so are you a person who is good at receiving grace but not very good at giving grace? Another feature of this one-way grace is this, isolation. Again, back to the story in Jonah chapter 4, verse 5, where he sat down under this shade to see what would happen. He cloistered himself. He kind of isolated himself from the pain and the brokenness of the world, and had his own opinion on it. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "Whoever isolates themselves rages against all judgment." And Jonah was that man at that moment. He was detached, outside looking in bitterness and anger, just waiting for God to punish them. It's easy not to care when you see yourself as the outside person in the situation. But when you become involved, when you meet people that maybe you didn't like at first, but all of a sudden God gave you a heart of love for them, everything changes. So are you sitting down and waiting for God to judge the person who hurt you? Or are you praying the same grace that you received over that person because you know you didn't deserve it? Trust me when I tell you, I've been there. There were seasons where I would say, "Lord, just punish them. Just, you know, deal with them in a hard way. Just wipe them out." And God transformed my heart, and He can do it for you. He can change your heart. And you can't do this by yourself, but His grace in you can do it. Thank God. But here's another feature of one-way grace: narcissism. Again, we go back to it. You know, and when you read these verses, it's amazing. The word "I," "me," or "my" occurs 9 times in the Hebrew, and in verses 2 and 3 alone. "I," "me," and "my." This sounds like today's culture, narcissistic influence culture that says it's all about me building my brand. It's all about me becoming great and famous. And Jonah was totally wrapped up in his feelings. And in modern Western culture, preferences and feelings have become God instead of what God wants. In fact, there are megachurches now that they won't even use the word resurrection during Easter season or sin or repentance or anything like that, because they're like, "Well, they don't get it, so we can't use it." Hey, guess what? That's the price. The part of the gospel is you got to get the bad news before you get the good news, right? So when we start doing that, we're starting to worship our preferences and our emotions over anything else. And we find that our feelings can eclipse the rightness of God's word, of what God is requiring of us. And our self-admiration can become so important that it can sometimes eclipse the way we treat others in giving grace. But I'll give you 2 more and we'll let you go today. Criticism is another feature of one-way grace. In 4, 1, and 2, he was very unhappy, and I won't read it. He was very unhappy and displeased, and he had a critical spirit. A critical spirit is when you see everything through this jaundiced, negative, hopeless eye, that instead of seeing the best in it, because after all, the Bible says love believes the best in a situation, right? You see the worst. And imagine being so twisted in your thinking that you would brazenly criticize God for showing grace to your enemies, and to his enemies for that matter. I mean, how arrogant is that? And how critical it is. So it's okay for God to be gracious to me, but not to the people I don't think deserve it. And that is a critical spirit. That is a mean-spirited thing, isn't it? And the last one I want to give you as a feature of one-way grace is this: control. In the Christmas Story, which is one of my favorite movies, we watch it every year. It's called A Christmas Story. Ralphie is daydreaming about his parents' reaction to his blindness. He imagines his mother crying and his father regretting giving him soap for punishment, right? And he says, "There was never a kid who didn't believe vaguely that and insistently that he would be stricken blind before he reached 21. And then they'd be sorry." And there's that control there. They'll be sorry because of what they did to me. And it says in verse 3 of Jonah chapter 4, "So now, Lord, kill me instead, because I would rather die than live." The Lord said, "Are you really so very angry?" So I call this pouting control, what a 2-year-old does when they don't get their way. We do that to God sometimes. So how do you want to handle your life? Who do you want to become? Do you want to be that person who only receives grace but never gives it? Are you a grace giver or merely a grace taker? Do you want to be like Ralphie, a child throwing a manipulative fit because of not having your own way? Or do you want to be someone who walks in true grace? So how do we get there? Well, I think we're going to talk about that next time we get together. How do you give grace? How do you get to the point where you're not just a taker, but a giver? If you like this podcast, please leave a like and recommend it to a friend, please. And you can find us on YouTube, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Facebook, and in other places you can get your podcasts. So until next time, I'm so glad to be with you. Thank you.